Thanks for tuning in to this message from the Los Altos Grace Brethren Church. We hope this will be an encouragement to you. You can find out more messages and more about our church at www.lagbc.org.
As we were singing that song, I was thinking about a prayer that David made to God. And he said, Lord, seek my heart. See if there be any hurtful way in me, way everlasting. David was opening himself up to God, and he was saying to God, look, basically, here I am. I want you to reveal to me the evil that is in my heart. I want you to show me what is broken, what doesn't work, what is wrong. I want you to open that up so that I can fix it. Lord, show me what's wrong. Show me how I can walk closely, regularly with you. And that's a lot of what we've already been talking about in the book of Mark. We're looking through the book of Mark, and as we do, we're discovering who Jesus is, who the Messiah is. And all through the book, it's all a secret. It's meant for us to discover it a spiritual way, not to be revealed to us because somebody told us or whispered it, but only to be revealed to us directly. And as we peer into that, what we come to realize is that if our lives are going to be transformed, if they really are going to be transformed by the Word, then the part that we play, that part of opening, I am, Lord God, show me what's real about me. Let me ask you guys a question. You like fruit? Do most of you like fruit? Hands, yeah, most of you like fruit. My daughter Stacy never touches the stuff. She hates fruit with a passion. She doesn't even like to smell it. You know, if it's somewhere in the house, you know, forget it. She doesn't want to be anywhere near it. But for most of us, we like it, right? You know, so got here what? An apple, right? How many of you like apples? Maybe less of you than like fruit, right? But most of us, you know, apples are pretty decent. What's fruit good for? What do you like about fruit? Tastes good, right? So you like to eat it. Most of the time, that's what we do with it, right? Sometimes we cut it up, make a fruit salad. Sometimes we eat it, you know, great. You just grab and take a big bite out of this apple. But we generally use fruit. Fruit is good tasting. And so we're attracted to it. We eat it, and it provides us with nourishment, right? We get from the fruit certain, we get calories, you know, we get sugars, we get, you know, the various things that our body needs and our body to function. At least some of that. So fruit's a good thing. It's a useful life. Interestingly, if you look at the scriptures, find right from the very beginning, I realize he wasn't talking about apples and oranges when he said this. God said to Adam and Eve, what? Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. That was the command that he gave to them. Fruitful and multiply. We have the book of John, and talking in the book of John, and he says there that he is the vine, and his father is the vine dresser. In other words, he's the gardener. He's the guy who takes care of the vine, trims it and prunes it and fertilizes it and sees that it does what? That the branches on the vine, because fruit is that thing that the gardener finds useful. He finds it useful for food, sell. But as we're going to find out, it's also, if you have your Bibles, open them up to Mark chapter 4. And I'm just going to read through verses 1 through 9 that we read yesterday or last week. And this is the parable of the sower, it's called. This is Jesus talking to his disciples and to others who are around. And so he is communicating to them what he says is the sort of the granddaddy of all the parables. This is where it all starts, but you have to understand if you're going to make progress in spiritual life. Starts off by saying this. He began to teach again by the sea. Such a very large crowd gathered to him that he got into a boat in the sea and he sat down. And the whole crowd was by the sea and by the land. And he was teaching them many things in parables. And he was saying to them in his teaching, listen to this. Whenever you see Jesus say, listen to this, really, 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 really ought to listen. He says, behold, sower went out to sow. And as he was sowing, some seed fell beside the road, and the birds came, and they ate it up. And other seed fell on the rocky ground, where it didn't have much soil, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of soil. And after the sun had risen, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among the thorns. The thorns came up, and they choked it, and it yielded no crop. Other seeds fell into the good soil, and as they grew up and increased, they yielded a crop and produced 30, 60, and 100 fold. And he was saying to everyone, he who has ears to hear, hear. Now, last week we talked a little that the idea of having ears to hear is number one, saying, I want to understand. I'm not dismissing this. I'm not just, you know, thinking they're nice sounding words, but we also talked about the fact that it's the Holy Spirit who enlivens our understanding, enlightens us, that we're able to understand the things. So without the Holy Spirit, who spiritually appraises all things, it's almost impossible for us to really grow in our understanding. The Holy Spirit has to. As he who has ears to hear. Verse 13, he says, do you not understand this parable? Well, how will you understand all? Now we're going to skip down a bit, and we are going to begin by looking at what Jesus does to explain this parable to his disciples. Disciples pull him aside, and they want to know, what were you talking about? We don't get it. So the sower goes out to sow, and he throws seed everywhere, and some of it grows, and some of it doesn't grow. Some of it gets choked out. And in the end, you get this bountiful, bountiful crop. So what are we supposed to get out of that? And this is one of the few times where Jesus actually explained exactly. So we're going to take time to look at his explanation. He starts by saying the same thing. Sower sows word. So when we're talking about seed, you know, if I were sowing apple, right, I'd be throwing out apples. I really don't know much about gardening. I'm going to admit this. I'm terrible at it. Ask Lori. Really great at it. I'm really terrible at it. I'm not good at all. But when we used to live in Bellflower, and where we lived in Bellflower was a big piece of property. My family moved there in 1910. It was a 2-acre farm. And by the time I came along, there were four houses on one quarter acre, three houses on another quarter acre, two big apartment buildings on the other half acre. So we're kind of stuck in there with these houses, but we still had a lot of room. Had about 10,000 square feet yard of, and before there was grass, my aunt had this garden. Here, we would plant all kinds, grow all kinds of all year long. But I always know when she put seeds in the ground, she never just put one seed in a hole. She always put two or three or four seeds, big little holes. And then she'd kind of wait to see what was happening with the seeds, and maybe she'd think out if it needed to be thinned out. She was never sure which ones were going to grow and which ones weren't, so she always put. So the seed that Jesus is talking about, what does he mean? What comes to your mind? God's word. Okay, so this, right? Certainly true. Now, if I were to say to you, in 1 John, for instance, in John chapter 1, not 1 John, but in John chapter 1, the very first thing says that word was God, word was with God. And what would I be talking about then? Talking about this? I'd be talking about Jesus. So there's several Greek words, translated word. The one for the written word is a graphic. Graph. Word for this describes the person of Jesus. Word that's used here is the word logos. L-O-G-O-S. Transliterated in. And see something there? Logical, logistic, that kind of a thing. That's where we get our base word for. And so I think when we're talking about planting the word, it's more than just the scriptures. It certainly is the scriptures. This is where we find out everything we know about everything else. But if you went and listened to one of the cults, for instance, they would take this Bible, they would read things out of the Bible, and then they would twist them into things that they aren't. And that happens a lot. Sometimes we read the Bible and we don't always understand exactly what it is. I know that I've been studying the scriptures for the last 5+ years, and I'm still learning new things all the time. I'm still finding that there's some things I had wrong. You know, I'm looking at it and I'm going, wow, I never saw that before. I've been messed up for 35 years. I do that regularly. Okay, so there's a point about truth where we have to be specific. Talk about the logos of God, talking about seeing things exactly. We're talking about embracing very lives and in. Talking about taking the scriptures, understanding what they mean, and then applying them wisely in every situation. That makes sense? I don't want to discourage you from thinking. I want you to understand that beyond about understanding and belief, that's when the seed gets hard. Jesus says that the sower goes out, sows the word. And at this particular point in history where Jesus is teaching this, he's the primary sower. He's going out himself and he's sowing the word. But he intends for his disciples to understand later down the road. Not the only sower, he will sow. Let's begin looking at this sower. Then he says, and these are the ones who are beside the road where the word is sown. When they hear, immediately Satan comes and takes away the word which. As you go, immediately Satan. Talked about this last week, how you're putting out your grass seed, and I've got my spreader and I'm putting out my grass seed. Some of it falls on the sidewalk. And when it falls on the sidewalk, there's nowhere for it to go, for it to simply no place. What happens that doesn't accomplish. Jesus is saying here that there's another element. Not just that the person's heart stony, killing seed. Satan actually comes and. And I always wondered about that. Wouldn't it be enough for you to have a stony heart? You know, that you don't really want to hear, you don't really care about it, you don't really want to know the truth, so you know, just talk to the hand. I mean that's kind of the attitude. But he goes further and he says I was thinking, you know, there's cracks in the sidewalk, and sometimes I'm getting to crack, and then it'll find a way, right? Sometimes it'll just find a way, root up and just spring up. And Satan doesn't want that to happen. You know, if you're already at a place where you're going to repel the word, where you're going to think that it's silly and it's stupid and it doesn't apply to you, then Satan wants you to stay exactly. Because one of the things that's absolutely true about these soils, these heart soils that we're talking about, is that nobody has to stay in that same place for their entire lives. Soil can be cultivated. You can take a sledgehammer and sidewalk. Right? You can come along where there's little root, and you can put in topsoil, provide for more. You can pull weeds. You know, there's things you can do to cultivate the heart so that the heart can receive. So Satan doesn't want that seed laying around. You don't get it right off the bat. He's going to try to pluck that out so that you never think about it again. Want you embrace it. Sense? All right. In a similar way, these are the ones on whom the seed was sown on the rocky places. When they hear the word, immediately receive it. Joy. Anybody experience that? Maybe on a personal level or somebody that you've talked to about the gospel. Right when they hear it, they're just like, yeah, that sounds awesome. I really want that. Forgiveness is for me. You know, and they jump in and they take it. And then 2 weeks later, they're wondering, what happened to them? Why didn't they stick it out? Why didn't they keep going? Jesus is saying that their hearts are like this rocky soil where the soil's only an inch deep and there's just... them. Says that they have no firm root in them, but they're only temporary. Then he goes on to say that when affliction or persecution arises because of the word, immediately. I'm not sure exactly how to ask this question. There are people, places in the world, a lot of persons. Us, not so much. Even though I think we coming a little bit and to worry about it. Sometimes, you know, get the chance where we are. You know, that kind of thing happens from time to time. In terms of real persecution, we, America, have yet. And yet, even the smallest amount of that thinking that we're can often be enough to drive us away. Act is it shows to me. It shows how weak we are. That he can think that you know the persecution is horrible. It's not like someone's cut their head off tomorrow because. Yet if someone shows me a little disdain, I'm often. Then he says to us that there are other ones on whom the seed was sown among the thorns, thistles. These are the ones who have heard the word. They've heard the word. They had ears to hear. Worries of the world. Desire for other things, period. Worries of the world choke the world. You guys have that problem ever? This is where I think I have it making all the changes. Then he goes on. Then there are those on whom the seed was sown, good ground. They hear the word, they accept it, they bear fruit. 30. Let's take a few observations. First, seed was sown in every instance. Whether we're doing the planting or Jesus is, God himself is doing, the word is going forth. God promises that his word will never coming back to you without accomplishing. The word is constant. Good seed is the word, logos of God. Seed is planted. Not through speaking. Yeah, I want you to understand. Seed is not planted through speaking. Can be, but it's planted through hearing. I may be sowing the seed when I speak, but it can only be planted with sense. You've got to have gotta turn your mind. Only way that. So the bottom line is that if you want to be good soil, you've got to listen to the word, you've got to hear the word, you've got to trust. I want you to think with me. Apple. That it's good for food. Planting? Good planting? There's seeds inside, right? So I can eat it. Pretty good. I love food. But if I really think about it, what is it? Edible seed, right? I can eat all the things around it. It's great for food. Inside, it has the seed. The fruit, seed in it, right? A seed. And the purpose of fruit is to reproduce. Ask it this way. If I'm thinking about what the fruit of an apple, how would you answer? Say it's an apple? Okay. Think beyond the apple. A fruit of an apple tree might be many apples. Ultimately, the fruit of an apple tree might be another apple tree, or a whole apple orchard, or many, many, many apple orchards. Starting to see where I'm going with this? The potential for life is. This carries with it life. We talk about the word of God being planted in the hearts of. It changes us, it enlivens us, it gives us life. But then it turns us into this, you know, kind of seed-bearing fruit that goes out into the world and is able to spread more life to those who are able to spread more life, to those who are able to spread more life. That's how it's meant. As believers, we're to be fruitful, not physically, spiritually. Maybe even healing, right? Got all kinds of stuff in here. Absolutely. Okay, I got to go quick. I'm going to have you point out a couple more things to you. As it reproduces, we're told that if it falls in the good soil, it reproduces 30, 60, 100 times. That is like, you know, 3,000, 6,000, 10,000%. That's a pretty good return. So if you put good seed with good soil, you're going to get crop. So the issue is making sure that you have the right seed, making sure that you have the right soil. So now, you know, you can look at this from a lot of different perspectives. Think about it from the standpoint of someone who wants to go out and sow the seed and plant it in the world, then you want to look for good soil. But I want you to think about your own life. I already said, right, that I believe most Christians. Now, if I'm careful to look at my own life, there's some fruit there. Some of that seed has fallen in good soil. I know that God has dramatically last several decades. Back and realize, whoa, I'm not eating. But I also know that there are a lot of weeds in my life. You know, I have desires for other things. I focus on other things. You know, sometimes I worry about money and whether or not we're going to have enough. You know, there are times when I watch the news and I look at what's happening in the world and I watch the direction that America's going and I just want to throw up my hands. because I can't imagine what's happening to us. Worries of the world. Sometimes I worry about, you know, whether, you know, the worries of the world are also things like, do you have enough? Are you going to have enough? You know, are you going to go to the right school? Are you going to get the right job? You can come up with a zillion things, right? Everybody worries about. And when we focus our lives on those things, what happens? Chokes out. So to the extent that those things are in our lives are going to be less than they could be. Maybe, you know, my life was meant to have 100 times crop and I'm only getting a 20. Making sense? So it's important for us, I think, as Christians to look at our own lives and to see, you know, what is actually going on. How do we fix that? We truly believe what happens is lives get God we become useful. Good. Our own lives are transformed and then other lives. God's word and God's kingdom. Here's what I want you to have a note. Give you about 30 seconds, not long enough. I want you to start this. I want you just to think of the biggest. What is the one thing other than about it? Write it down. It might be that was easy for you, hard for you. Might be. David prayed, right? Prayer. Give us the. Lives. Wrote it down on there. I want you to just. I know it's an exercise. I know that doesn't mean it's gone. I want you to realize that's what you. You have to take that weed, you got to crumple it up, and you got to throw it away. May you do that by focusing on God. You can plant a lot more seed in your heart. We have all kinds of ways to do life transformation group talk for you, grab on to, find a partner, scriptures to talk to one another, ways to plant the seed. You can plant the seed all day long. If your heart is not good soil, it takes good seed and good soil. Not just good seed and good. The only way we can be sure we're putting ourselves out there, God ears to embrace what God is to be willing to take a hard look at. Understand that why are those weeds? Because I'm finding some satisfaction. I think they are providing me life. Life can only. It ends up being a God subject. How you cut things that we think are important, that we let, you know, fill our mind and our hearts and our lives. Not God wants. exception. Grace the God. Do that, then I think you'll find. When you pull one weed, you're going to find that there's a find that you have to ask God to show you. Lord, is our hearts. We're going to sing a prayer to you. Hearts would Lord, that we would both things are gotta plant. Gotta let you plant. Hearts have to be walk.